Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, March 22nd, and today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 10, the last paragraph, which begins with ministers and the world's religions and ends with snap shut against such a theory. Today's readers are Margaret D. for the 12 steps, Joanne D. for the 12 traditions, Yvonne A. will read and comment on our text for us, Chanel T., page 164, and Diane B. is here to help us with backup. Also want to acknowledge Christine M., who will greet newcomers, and Shelley E. closing us out with some announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Thursday, March 21st, is 21246. That's 21246. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 21248. That's 21248. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which were suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Margaret D. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Star one to unmute, Margaret.
Sorry about that. Here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready, to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you very much, Margaret D. And Joanne D. will now read our 12 traditions.
The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Joanne D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 10, paragraph 4, and I will now ask Yvonne A. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Yvonne A. I'm a compulsive overeater from BC, Canada. With ministers in the world's religions, I parted right there. When they talked of a God personal to me, who was love, superhuman strength, and direction, I became irritated, and my mind snapped shut against such a theory. And it is so interesting to me because as a young person in my early 20s, and I am now about 40 years beyond that point, I was very involved in what was then a non-traditional faith. And I thought that I might even, you know, go on and have a career in that line. And when I came through the doors of OA at 60 years old, and people talked about God as openly and as frequently as they did, my mind did snap shut. And I was surprised. I thought, when did this happen? How did I go from a person who felt very connected to a higher power to now not even being able to tolerate hearing people talk about God in that way? And so I had to go back and start with really small steps to get my mind back open to the possibility that something greater than me could actually help me with this disease. That thought had never occurred to me before. And so I started by just writing down terms that were spiritual but weren't the word God, that I could, you know, live with and not cringe as much as I was. And little by little, bit by bit, my mind opened back up. And it was, you know, that for me is a spiritual awakening, just being able to welcome a higher power back into my life and to connect with that higher power every single day. And to know that there is something so much more powerful than me out there. But this paragraph also reminds me, you know, it talks of a God personal to me. And my concept of God can be whatever I need my concept of God or a higher power to be. This program is such a beautiful thing in that it doesn't require us to have one idea only, to buy into a single idea that fits everyone. No, we have the ability to choose what fits for us, what we're comfortable with, what helps us achieve recovery. And so I am so very grateful to say I'm recovered today through the help of my higher power, and I pass.
Thanks so much for that great lead, Yvonne. Appreciate it. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on what was read, please press star 1, give me your name, let us know where you're calling from.
This is Diane in Chicago.
I heard Diane, Tom, and Veronica B. And if you also share your name, I didn't get it. Anybody else?
Carol R.
Carol R. I have Diane, Tom, Veronica B., and Carol R. Didn't get those initials. We'll get them when you share. Anybody else want to comment on page 10, paragraph 4?
Janice
K., Washington State.
Monique F.
I heard Janice K., somebody from Washington State, and maybe a Molly F.
That was Christine K., Washington State.
Okay, Christine K., and I'm
Monique,
sorry, who was
F in Tennessee?
Oh, Monique? Is
mm-hmm.
that right? Okay, great,
yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, anybody else want to get in this lineup before we start taking shares?
Virginia S. from Virginia.
Virginia S. from Virginia, that makes it easy. Thank you. Okay, great. Okay, let's stop here. If that's all right, we've got Diane, need the first initial of your last name, followed by Tom, Veronica B., Carol R., Janice K., Christina K. Let me just make that so I can read it next time. Monique F., Virginia S., if I got anything wrong, please correct me when it's your turn. So we're going to start out with Diane. May we please have the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from before you share?
Sure. Thank you for your service. This is Diane, MC in Chicago, and this paragraph reminds me of in the back of the book of the big book that is on page 568. There's that famous quote of Herbert Spencer. There's a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fall, to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. To getting my hackles up when I came in the program about God, become irritated. I definitely did get annoyed when someone would bring something up that I didn't agree with, that went against what I felt was right. And that quote in the back, how many times it has come to my mind, just in my own private life, you know, outside of my recovery stuff, you know, I'm showing contempt prior to investigating. And it has really pushed me to investigate, to find out why does someone have that opinion that's different from mine? You know, it's just made me more open to, and more respectful, really, to other people's opinions, and that's different from mine. So I just have a lot of gratitude for being introduced to this this principle that is just a better way of relating to people than a snap judgment, becoming irritated. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Diane MC. Okay, next we have Tom. If we could have the first initial of your last name, where you're calling from. Please share with us, Tom.
Hey, this is Tom L. from California, sunny California.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. This page 10 is my favorite. You can read We Agnostics. There's a lot of good stuff there, excellent stuff there. But page 10 is where Bill, who is, he wrote this when he was about 4 years sober. He's trying to remember this meeting with his Ebby when he was drunk off his ass. And he was trying, what was I thinking at the time? Because after 4 years of sobriety, he had had revolutionary changes in his life. He was thinking, well, what did I believe in? I believed in a God of nature. And he talks about that in the previous paragraph. You know, the God of science, the God who, you know, set everything up and is behind all the amazing laws and stuff. But this other God on page 10, this he was having none of. And I agreed with him on that. I was having a God who was personal to me, superhuman strength and direction. No, thank you. I'm busy. I have things going on in my life. You know, perhaps you can talk about a God of black holes and of, you know, the Genesis, but a God of me, you are not the boss of me. I don't care who you are. So he believed in the first one. He didn't believe in the second one, and he was drunk off his ass. Ebby sat before him, and he was making sense, and he was smelling good, and, you know, he wasn't throwing up and all the other things alcoholic that Bill was doing. And he was saying, he was going, I can't agree with this God, but Ebby seems to believe in a loving God who helped him, took him off the scrap heap. And he was able to recover with that God. The first God, people have been killing each other for thousands of years, and millions of people have died because of arguments over that God. The second one, I don't need a superhuman God. I need someone stronger than me. I need someone who loves me, who hears me when I talk, and who can kick my diseases behind, who can destroy my addiction. That's all I need. This whole book is about getting in contact and having a relationship with that God. And you can believe in the other one or not, up to you. But this is where the magic happens, is when I can surrender using the steps, strangely enough. and I'm, you know, he was with me this morning when I got up, you know, and he is directing my faltering steps. And I'm so glad for the shares on this meeting. I'm in the right place. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Tom L. from California. Okay, Veronica B. is up next, and you'll be followed by Carol R. Please share with us, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Thank you for your service. How I relate to this paragraph is, as soon as I read a God personal to me, number one, I've never had a God personal to me. I've always used your God to look up to. I always depended on other people to fill me up, because I didn't think I deserved God's time and love because of things that I had done in the past. And my upbringing was, there was a lot of adults in the household where I grew up, and they were very critical. And there was one aunt who was very religious, and I was so terrified of her. And I thought, how can someone be so religious? I thought, like, being strict, there was a connection with being strict and believing in God. And I believe that, like, I had to do good things for God to help me out. I just grew up with this really old idea until I came into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, and I worked the steps, and these steps enabled me to get a God personal to me. To help me and to give me strength and courage to live a day at a time abstinently and comfortable in my skin without depending on food. But it really started with me surrendering those old ideas, having an open mind to bring new ideas And I had to learn this new normal for myself, this way of life of, you know, abstinence and recovery and apply them into my life. But I had to start with working these steps and getting rid of these old ideas that blocked me from getting a God personal to me, which I'm so grateful today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Virginia B. Carol R., you're up next, followed by Janice K. Star one to unmute, Carol. Carol R.
Hi, I'm Carol R., and I'm a compulsive overeater from California. And I could relate to this paragraph because I might not always feel that God loves me, but I have experienced a supernatural power and strength that if I stop and pause and listen and wait, sometimes I have to wait for the answer, I get that direction. Before, I just did what I thought was the right thing to do, realizing now that I didn't do the right things. And now I know that by doing the steps, I've learned that it is a challenge to stay connected with God every hour. But I know now that is where wisdom comes. And so I guess I'm learning to listen, wait, and get direction. And each day I don't do it perfectly, but I'm growing in my relationship with my higher power. And I'm also really aware that one of the most easiest ways for me to do that is to continually see what I should be grateful for and the fact that he's brought me here to a vision for you is changing my life and my relationship with him. So it works if you let go and let God. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carol R. Janice K., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Christina K. Please share with us, Janice.
Okay. Thank you. This is Janice K. in Oregon. Oh, boy. You know, this whole page has been, there's a lot here. And a lot of what I hear is that the dysfunctional family cannot teach about a functional God. My family is on this page. There was my dad, represented by the line, good-natured contempt. Well, my dad's contempt was not always good-natured, but he was the dad, and I was a kid in 1950, and we did what the dad wanted. My mom wanted a tender and loving God. And then we had kind of a family that pretended to be Dick and Jane, you know, that kind of normality. Father knows best. We were a quote-unquote good family. And I wanted God's mom's God to be true, just like I wanted Santa Claus to be true, because there was nobody to trust in my family. But what I came to be terrified of was the preacher's God. When I found God as I understand God, the God of the mountaintop, it was remarkable. I wanted to talk about him. I wanted to talk so much, but my family wouldn't hear it. And they would say things like, well, if you're so weak that you need a crutch, I'm glad you found it. Yeah. Real safe to talk about God in my family. I suspect that what the dysfunctional family does is pick out its peak and teach that in the place of God. So, of course, we have to renegotiate God, because I don't know that a dysfunctional home can teach a functional God. So, of course, for us, for me, of course, for me, the opposite of faith is fear, and it's also doubt. And it seems that I have to beat my way through it periodically. But these are very old, very deep beliefs. And just like it says in step 7, it's not something I can remove from myself. I give it to God, and I keep on trudging. Thank you for listening with us.
Thank you very much, Janice K. Okay, we've got Christina K. up next, followed by Monica F. Please share with us, Christine.
Morning, everybody. This is Christy K. from Washington State. And how I relate to this paragraph, talking about a God who was personal to me, is I never had that. I grew up in the church, as they say. I went every Sunday, did Sunday school and activities, all those kind of things, and was involved in the church. But God was always very scary to me. In my mind, he was a punishing God, not a loving God. And I never thought that he knew me personally, that he was there for everybody else, but not for me. I guess I felt I didn't deserve God's love, that for some reason I was a bad person, and I have no idea why I thought that way. That was how my mom, treated me, or how my dad treated me. It was just something that was inherent, something inside of me. And I felt that I always had to earn God's love by being good and perfect all the time. And I really thank God for this program, truly. It really took a while for me to believe that God actually could love me and really want to help me with my food problem. That was just so outside of my scope. I still have doubts at times when I'm feeling bad or not connected. The meetings, the reading, and most of all, just praying and asking God's help and for God's love in this program. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christy K. You kind of went in and out. Are you all done? Okay, I believe she is. So we have Monica F. up next, followed by Virginia S. Please share with us, Monica.
Hi, my name is Monique F. I'm in Tennessee. Can I be heard?
Yes, Monique. Thank you very much.
Yes. So I'm a compulsive overeater, new to the idea of being recovered. I think this is like my second time sharing on Vision. I'm really grateful to be here. Kind of the first person that shared kind of said everything that I wanted to say, but says when they talked of a God personal to me who was love, superhuman strength, and direction, I became irritated and my mind snapped shut against such a theory. Like, literally, I was brought up in a church. I even did go on to do some youth ministering. And so, when I found myself morbidly obese and just couldn't stop eating, I was just so surprised at the level of hatred I had toward myself, God, and other people. And so coming into OA, a person's kindness kind of introduced me into this idea of course, being able to put down the food, but also that there was, love and faith and gentleness. And this person answering the phone for me kind of brought me to this idea that, okay, if I call God, I answer. And so this idea of, I think I hear the word cringing, lately, having the need to change sponsors, all of a sudden, I began to cringe at this idea of God. And I'm going to just be honest, I feel you know, kind of humiliated in a sense that, you know, God has, I know for a fact, God has took away, you know, over 200 pounds. I couldn't do that because I tried without this program. But this idea of that, you know, I'm so sick that I have to go deeper. I have to give him everything. It's quite shocking, but like I just heard somebody say, I guess I'm really grateful to be a compulsive overeater because I hear another OA fellow say it's a search and rescue. Like, I basically just feel like God is searching and rescuing me. And I can't stop because if I go back to the food, I will die. And so what I am getting from all of this is that, you know, I needed to get the food in its place. I needed to have those things removed, that weight removed. And now I'm getting to go deeper into the solution. And thank God you all are here because, you know, I cringed at one point at the thought of being a part of a vision for you. But it's something about being desperate and sick to where you get your humility and your ego reduced to where you say, God, whatever you have out here for me, thank you. And I'll accept it. Like, now I'm looking at vision as a gift. Like, I'm glad you all are here since I'm in such need because I could not imagine going back to a 5X. I could not imagine losing my kids again. I guess also what I'm learning with having my children back now is that, you know, they act up, they cut up, they get on my nerves at times. But, oh, my goodness, I love them how much. I love them so much. And if, you know, in the other book it says, you know, if I'm not perfect and I can love these guys that much, and how much more does God really, truly love me? And so thank you all for being here and sharing your love. Like, you guys are amazing. And with that, I pass. Thank you for bringing me to the book.
Thank you, Monica. Okay, Virginia S. is up next, and then we'll take a few more shares on page 10, paragraph 4, which begins with ministers in the world's religions and ends with snapshot against such a theory. Please share with us, Virginia. Virginia S.
Hi, I'm Virginia, compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. Thanks for everybody's share so far. I'm not sure I can be as eloquent, but I think like most of us, in many of us in the program, either there was religion that was abusive at times or there was no religion at all. And I guess growing up in such a strong religion, I oftentimes think, like, who am I to recreate? I had this experience of guilt that I was going to somehow create, you know, a God of my understanding. It just didn't feel, something about that just feels uncomfortable, and I don't know exactly what it is, but I do know that it does work. And when I try not to mentate so much on over what is God and just let go, I feel a lot better. And that, you know, it took a certain level of maturity for me to understand that punishment is not in alignment with a God that's going to work for me today. You know, and also I have some learning disability issues where I have managed to get a master's degree, but it takes a lot for me to sit down and sit still. I'm a little hyperactive. And so I really do think that the God of my understanding wants to sit down and sit still for a minute. It's that whole thing of like, be still and know that I am God. But, you know, when I'm not in the program, all I can remember is the punishing God. And when I'm in the program and I'm working the steps, I allow in a more gentle and loving God, and a more honest God. Anyway, I'm not really sure what else to say except that I'm not working the steps right now. And regardless of weight gain and loss or whatever it is, it just doesn't feel good. I feel unsteady, and so I have to open up, and I can't afford to snapshot. right now, because when I snap shut, I close myself off to any positive opportunities. So anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Virginia S., for your share and also for that realization. I hope you take some numbers when they're shared later on in the meeting. Okay, so although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to comment on page 10, paragraph 4, please give me your name and first initial of your last name.
Pennsylvania.
Oh, my goodness. I heard Kathleen in Pennsylvania, and that is all I got in that bunch.
Kathleen W., Illinois.
Dina A., New Jersey.
Kathleen W. in Illinois. I think that's who I had gotten. Okay, I got Kathleen
Robin
and Wendy.
A.
Robin A.
Sarah C.
Sarah C.
Dina A.
I think that's all we have time for, but I will write you down, Dina A., just in case there is time. Okay, so I've got Kathleen W., Wendy S., Robin A., Dara C., I believe, or maybe it's Dara L., sorry, can't read my own writing, and Diana A., if there's time. Okay, Kathleen W., please share with us. If you're not Kathleen, please press star 1 to mute your phone, and you'll be followed by Wendy S.
Good morning, Kathleen W. from Illinois. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
Okay, sorry. so grateful to be in this meeting this morning and to hear the powerful shares that I needed to hear today. Thank you also for your service. When they talked of God personal to me, who is love, superhuman strength, and direction, I became irritated and my mind snapped shut against such a theory. When I came into OA, I had already been in another 12-step program. I had a revolutionary change. I had met God on a new level and a completely new experience where I began to live according to the principles, the 12 principles, to the best of my ability, and found freedom from, various substances. However, several years after that, I was called into OA. My experiences with AA did not help me in that area, except to, I knew that, there was another 12-step program I could go to and get some help. And so when I got there, I did not have a clue about this personal God in this area of my life. I found him in another area, God, but not in this area of my life. It was so foreign to me. So I was being brought now into a deeper level of understanding and knowing this personal God. Our relationship was going to be changing now, and I didn't know how to do that. That's why I was wondering about who had what plan, what was your plan, what was your plan, what was your plan, I would be asking people, because I didn't have a clue. And then one day reading in, I think, the 12 of 12 about, creating this personal God, and I thought, oh, my God, I have to, I have to hear from God about what I need to eat now and how I need to eat. I have to hear from God about that personally. It was quite wrenching and scary, and I had doubts that I was going to be able to listen to that or know that or find that out. And I actually have through the years, and my life did change. My eating changed. My relationship with food began to change. My belly was my God. I didn't know that. And I'm still finding that out, but I'm finding out a different God, a loving God. Now I have, I still was connected to that punishing God in so many ways, but now, with this new experience, with this new abstinence, I found another God that none of it is punishment. There's no punishment. what I find, it's all learning. This is not a punishment, Kathleen. I'm teaching you something. And with that, I'll pass. I'm just so grateful for this new relationship I have with God. I've got a loving God who doesn't accuse me. No accusation against me are true. And God only teaches me. So I'm so grateful for that. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathleen W. Wendy S., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Robin A.
Good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service. First I want to share something I heard at a meeting last night, and that was, without God, I need an addiction. Without God, I need an addiction, right? So with my addiction, I need God. And the other thing I heard is, how big is my God? With regard to this passage, what comes to me is, first of all, don't tell me what to do. I do not like it when you tell me what to do. And this says, they talked of a God personal to me. I'm right there with Bill. Just don't tell me what to do. Because really, in this program, we don't tell each other what to do. We, you know, come to have a spiritual experience where we not only believe in God, we know God. We experience God. That's at least been my, I always say, I don't know if I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. Usually when I pick up the phone and I tell the truth or I tell a secret or I listen to somebody else's, you know, God just lands. But yeah, definitely don't tell me what to do. Oh my God, I've done many 10 steps on that. And then I don't really need a God because I am God, right? How can there be room for both of us? But the thing that I think I love the most, my mind snaps shut, is I wrote down, I don't know. One of the greatest gifts of the program is I don't know. I mean, finally, right? Like, finally, we get to that humility. I don't know. If I don't know, possibilities are endless. If I know, my mind has snapped shut. So I'm in a really good place if I'm in an I don't know. And that place is that humility, that God's saying, if you could just set aside, Wendy, just move aside because I need to do my magic now. The only way to let God in is for me to say, I don't know. And maybe that's the case. And maybe this and maybe that. But again, I don't know. Because I spent a whole lifetime knowing. And as quickly as I say I know, my life gets really teeny. And it doesn't work. I mean, more to the point, it just doesn't work when I know. And, you know, when I'm calling a friend, a fellow, and I remember to say, you know what? I don't even know how this should go down. Only God knows, but I have to get out of the way, humility, so that God can do God's magic. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. Okay, Robin A., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Dara L.
Hi, this is Robin. I am a compulsive reader. I'm so grateful for this meeting today. My eyes are just leaking, and I just have a big lump in my throat. And I'm just wanted to come on and ask for prayers. I had a slip, and I didn't want to come on this meeting because the arrogance had come back, and I just don't want food to be my higher power again. And I've had kind of the willingness come back just to even speak up and say, you know, share this, and I really, really appreciated the share, especially the place of I don't know, and I'm in that place that I don't know how to do this. And I bought abstinent food yesterday, so I'm just going to very much stick close to this program today. I am on vacation, and I lasted a week abstinent, and then just slowly stopped coming to the meeting, stopped talking to the sponsor, stopped calling in my food. So if you have extra prayers, could you just send them to me? Because I do believe prayers work. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Robin. I really appreciate it. Okay. We have time for just one more share. I'm so sorry, Diana A. But Dara L., will you please share with us?
Hi, good morning. You are actually right the first time. It's Dara C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Wilmington, Delaware. And I can try to be quick so we can get both of us in. I just love that how many of these paragraphs I read, and I'm like, wow, what a great paragraph, and I say that about 1,000 times. I was so profoundly prejudiced against religious people, against religion. I thought it meant I was weak, and I see now that surrendering to my higher power is actually an act of courage and a sign of strength to let go. Anybody can cling on, you know, to this false sense of control, but letting go actually takes a lot of courage. But I was very closed-minded. I was very, very prejudiced. And then this idea that to set aside those prejudices and then come to believe that I could have a personal relationship with God, like, what? How is that going to work? But the truth is that I don't have to start this program with faith. That's the good news. I end with faith. I only have to start with a willingness to believe in a maybe. And that willingness for me came from listening to all of you guys when I first started calling in the vision and hearing recovered in California, recovered in New York, recovered in Florida, recovered in Texas. And I was like, whoa. And you guys all said this worked for you. So I was willing to believe it might work for me. I didn't know if it would. But then I took some action, which is the step. And then I got some results from those steps. And then I was able to see it with my own eyes and experience this personal relationship with a higher power because I sort of had the proof, you know, like I was experiencing it in my life. And there was something else I was going to say, and I can't remember, and I'm hoping that if I pass, then the next woman who wanted to share can have some time. So I'll pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Darcy. It's very generous of you. And Diana A., I wish we did have an extra minute for you, but we do need to move on now. And so thank you, everybody, that has shared. We're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Chanel T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Chanel T., gratefully recovered. All right, and I'm in Washington State. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find between us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.